All right, Steph, anytime you're ready, synopsize us in.
Okay. This is the Potential Cast, Season 2, Episode 1, when she was bad. Buffy returns from summer vacation with a major attitude and recurring nightmares involving the Master, even as the Anointed One and his followers plot their revenge.
Awesome.
This is Stephanie.
This is Kimberly.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Kevin.
Hey, Kevin's back.
Hey,
hey Kevin.
Welcome back, Kevin.
Couldn't scare me away.
I think it's good that we make sure that our guests get an extra night for free. It's a 2-for-1 here on Potential Cast. Make sure you book early. Because apparently I think Season 2 is all booked up, right, Steph?
Just about it. There's like two. It's like the two lamest episodes are free.
Well, I'll definitely be on for those.
Yeah.
So when she was bad.
Round 2.
I love her new haircut.
It's very... Heather Locklear-esque Melrose Place.
Find?
There's a lighter. There's a lot of new hairstyles. Calendar. Calendar's got a hot little look as well.
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah,
I was very happy to see Miss Jenny Calendar back on campus.
I'm glad Willow cut her hair because it was looking really ratty last season, but she cut off all the dead ends. I'm like, yay!
Yeah, lots of split ends, I was going to say.
Yes.
Split ends are really a pain. I used to have long hair, and it was... I do not want to revisit that at all.
And I'm actually kind of happy that Angel, David Boreanaz, is now a main character. Because
he is in the beginning credits, isn't he now?
Yeah, I forgot that the first season he was a guest character, or a guest actor, because I always fast-forward through the opening credits because I hate that theme song. And
what?
But I made
a
point.
Isn't that crazy, Kevin?
That's insane. Crazy talk.
I made a point to watch the opening credits for this season because I remember he joined the cast before he went to Angel, and I was happy to see him joining the cast. I don't know, his deafness. I started watching Bones, and I fell in love with David Boreanaz from watching Bone. So I don't know if I'm going to like him as Angel. We'll see. Because
that's kind of hard because a lot of people, when they fall in love with Agent Booth, they can't really get into Angel. Or when, like, I fell in love with Angel and can't really get into Agent Booth.
Oh, that's weird.
Because they are such different characters.
Oh. Okay.
But anyways,
I digress.
Yeah.
But that's what we do on this show. So let's go. Digress away.
Okay. We got a couple of emails about...
Yes, we do.
When she was bad. We got a message from Heidi. I'll go ahead and read it. Hey, Jax, and whoever else is in attendance. This is not a favorite episode of mine, but it's not a bad episode. There's some great character development and a bit of foreshadowing, but it is so painful to watch Buffy being mean to everyone. I really, really enjoying your podcast, Heidi. Yeah, it is painful to watch.
Thanks, Heidi. Buffy, it was not
so
fun.
Oh.
The thing is, I went through a period like this. In high school, and oh man, I was just like, no, snap out of it. No, snap out of it. Snap out of it. You're alienating yourself from your friends. Snap out of it. It was just bad. I mean, one of my notes was PTSD much?
What?
You know? Like post-traumatic stress syndrome much? Well, disorder.
Oh,
post-traumatic
yeah.
stress disorder much? It's just, it's like, really, she was so overcompensating.
I don't know if it was because I watched too much Lost, but before they even said, before they even speculated she was possessed, I'm like, whoa, we've got a John Locke Men in Black thing going on because something's not right with Buffy. She's not the Buffy of yesteryear that we love so much.
But she wasn't really possessed, was she?
No, okay. I don't think she was, but I thought that. Mm. And then they went and said it in the next scene, and I'm like, I'm a genius. And then I was like, well, wait a second, she's not possessed. But yeah, I thought, I did not like, because watching it, I thought, okay, are we going to get a scene or a flashback where we see something that happened between Buffy and Angel between the end of the season, the finale, and now? Because the way that they were acting, it felt like there was a part of the story that we didn't know what was going on. And I was like, did I
totally see that now?
Yeah.
But I didn't think
because she had this attitude, and I was like, where is this coming from? Because when we last left them, they went hopping along to the Bronze to have a good old spanking time.
Yeah.
And then now they all hate each other. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, you were totally right. There could have been tons of potential for the whole...
Like, they spent the summer away from each other, and I was wondering, did something happen? Like, did Buffy and Angel try to get together, and then it just totally went wrong? I don't know. All these things are going through my head, and I was like, I had to think. I'm like, you know what? This isn't Lost. No. Just keep watching. We're not going to get flashbacks. What do we think of the opening scene with Xander and Willow?
I was disappointed they didn't kiss.
I thought it was a dream at first.
Oh, you did? I didn't.
I thought Willow was dreaming.
I love their geeky movie quote game. And how he reacted when she said, use the force, Luke. It was great. Do I even have to identify that with a response? And by the way, Nicholas Brendon is in too good shape.
Right, he is.
I'm sorry, like, guy, I understand you want to extend your life, but I can totally see that your shoulders are the size of mountains under your sweater or whatever it is you're wearing today. It's like, you know, guy's got shoulders like nobody's business. He's in better shape than Angel, frankly.
How old was he when the show was on? Because he looks like he's about 35.
He looked a lot older in season two, and I guess a lot of time did go by.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it was his new haircut.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Very sharp.
He got rid of his hockey mullet, and now he looks like a normal hockey.
There's nothing wrong with hockey hair.
Only everything.
All right.
I think when the show first started, I think Sarah Michelle Gellar and Allison Hannigan, they were 18, and I think Charisma Carpenter was older. She was like 21. I don't know. I'm not sure. And Nicholas Brendon was older too.
Hmm.
I think maybe he was in his 20s.
Oh, wow. Really? Because he's been on Criminal Minds the last couple of years. He doesn't look like he's in his 40s.
He's aged well.
Wow.
Even though he seems to have a problem with alcohol.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Bless his heart.
I'm sorry, but every time you're going to say that, Steph, I'm going to have uncontrollable, ridiculous laughter. I apologize.
He was born in 1971. He's older than me.
Oh, wow.
He's older than me.
Well, he's going to be 40 next year then. So 97, quick math.
26.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Wow.
He pulled off the high school guy really well for a 26-year-old.
And he's supposed to play a 16-year-old?
Yeah.
Hey, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Uh-huh. But I do agree, Buffy being mean was not right.
No.
It just felt completely off, and I honestly felt like we were missing a piece of something that had happened to her. But I guess a whole summer of thinking about the master and just what her whole life is now,
yeah,
it'll get under her skin and fester. But I loved how Cordelia gave her some advice.
Yeah. and then immediately gets kidnapped. That was so good. That was so good. That moment was awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that you're being a bitch because I know I'm being a bitch. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go see if Angel wants to dance. And then, which reminds me, Buffy the Slut? What the hell was that? I was giving Xander a lap dance at the Bronze.
Was I the only one that felt really weird watching
that? Was so weird.
Like, she's supposed to be, what, 17 now? This is not right.
I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean,
it was so weird.
It's like, this isn't a dance club in downtown Montreal. You're not supposed to be doing that. It's the Bronze.
That's super sick.
They have hot and cold buffet, apparently.
But it was weird. It was like, and what time was this show on at night? Like, kids were watching?
Oh, yeah, and it was like, it like followed Seventh Heaven. It's what?
What? No.
Yeah.
Oh, Seventh Heaven was on Sundays, wasn't it?
Is that the one with Major Dad?
No.
No? Major Dad isn't on there? Not the same guy?
It was the one with Jessica Biel.
Hmm.
Anyway. Different show.
Yeah. Oh. That was weird.
But it did feel
she's coming on to creepy. Him. Poor Willow. She put something on her nose to try to recreate the magic. Yeah, you got something on your nose.
That was awesome.
Look, I have ice cream on my nose.
Oh. Yeah, but very, very weird to watch because there was the spotlight there and the weird Japanese music going on.
I felt it was very Angelo Badalamenti, the guy that did the music for Twin Peaks. It had the same kind of vibe for me. That music they were playing had the same kind of weird, mysterious, dark, but still yet very chipper vibe to it. It was a weird mix of musical emotions, and it really it automatically had me flash to some Twin Peaks music and some of the stuff going on there. But I thought it was a very good choice. And oh my God, the best music of the episode, Alison Krauss in Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's a beautiful song.
I didn't recognize the song. I used my iPhone to identify the song with an app called SoundHound. And it identified it like, it's Alison Krauss. I have this song. I immediately went and rated it like 5 stars.
Is that the song at the end?
No, I believe it was the song when, after she tells Angel to leave. And it starts playing when they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Nothing Matters. It was really good. I must say, if this is the new production quality direction Buffy's going in, I am very, very excited. Mm-hmm. Because
I like how Stephanie was talking about last episode, or even last season. It was so dark, but this, you could actually see what was going on.
You could.
Already, they've got more lights in the budget, which is great.
Mm-hmm. And a definite improvement in fight choreography, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And all the campiness is back.
Yeah.
Which is
fun.
Buffy's one-liners. You roll your eyes, but you're like, oh, I love you, Buffy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is also another episode written by Joss, so you got lots of great one-liners.
Well, some of those vampire teeth looked like they were going to fall out.
I thought the opposite.
Really? Well, that one girl who was pretending to be Cordelia.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Well, because I remember last season, even when, what's her name? Julie Benz's character.
I forget.
Darla.
Darla. When she would speak, it sounded like she was just trying to desperately keep the teeth in. Mm-hmm. But now this season, you can clearly hear what they're saying.
Yeah, but I just thought it was really kind of protruding, and I just didn't find that very... I know. I guess it's supposed to gross you out, right? The vampires?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was supposed to be really scary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what did everyone think of the Buffy nightmare there with Giles turning into the master on her?
Oh, that was
crazy.
Giles really did look like he was murderous rampage.
He really did.
He was very he was very threatening. He was scary.
Mm-hmm. I like that Willow and Xander just kept on eating their lunch.
Yeah. I like how they so swapped great. Snacks.
Swap snacks, yeah. Perfectly timed.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, there's something about this that Morgan and I hate. We hate that mural. That painted mural.
Where?
Which mural?
Where?
Which one?
It's a painted mural. I don't know if it's where they're eating lunch or where they're having their break there in the little commons area. But there's this painted mural. Just look for it next time. It's on all through this season. Yeah. I know season two. But it bugs me and bugs Morgan too.
So do Giles and Miss Callender get it on? Because they kind of harsh
I hope so, because she was checking him out.
They were checking each other
And I loved how Principal Snyder was doing his whole thing about how they're just obsessed with mating and everything, and Giles and Miss Callender are like reconnecting and kind of checking each other out. And I love how she went to Burning Man.
naked mud dancing.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Naked.
Can I make a comment about those yellow shoes that Buffy had? I had the exact one. They were
the
so
Hank held up.
Yes. I had the exact ones in black. Oh,
were
Buffy.
They the platforms?
Yeah, yeah. The strappy platform. Hers were bright yellow. Where's bright yellow shoes?
Buffy and you. 1997.
So, points of revelation.
Buffy is a Bitka.
That was my quote at the end.
I definitely had that one written down too, Kim.
Okay, fine. Then my point of revelation is Xander can't spell.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. That was brilliant. I don't know. It was like, I don't know. I think it's only been one episode, but I can already, talking with you guys about it now, not so much watching it, as I mentioned in the last episode, that's when I really kind of figure stuff out about the show, is when we're having this dialogue, and I have most of my revelations, but it really does feel like it's so much better than the first season when it comes to little All things right. like that, you know what I mean? And not just in production value and action sequences and stuff, but just writing. And that's one of the things that really, I really enjoyed that particular quote. You know what I mean? It wasn't necessary, but it was there, and it totally plays off. It totally fits Xander's character. It's not tacked on. It's not superfluous. It totally fits. Do you know what I mean? And I really, really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed all of the little bits that were like that in this episode, I must say.
And it's coming, like you said, it's already like so early. Like the thing that kind of gets me when I first start watching new shows, except for like The Wire, is where they're always reintroducing things so that the audience is aware of character traits and such, where. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas now we're comfortable with the characters that they don't have to over explain everything. Yeah. Where a character can say like a sentence where to a regular watcher will be like slapping their knee laughing, where if you don't watch a show, you're like, what's so funny? You know? And I love that.
Well, I heard the other day that networks believe that viewers miss every third episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Even now with DVRs and all that?
I believe so. Yeah, because a lot of people still don't have DVRs.
Yeah.
You know, we do. What? You know, all of us do. But there are people in this world who do not have DVRs. It's hard to believe. Some people don't have cable.
Yeah.
What? So were you guys... surprised to see the Master make a cameo?
I was.
Yeah, you know, in any other show, at the season finale, they're going to be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
big bad, that enemy, that character, and you'll never hear of them again. But in this show, yeah, I was really surprised that it carried over to the next season.
Yeah.
See, I was not, because of the whole, like, they made a point to do the close-up in the season finale of the skeleton just there. And yeah, they explained it away at the beginning of the episode, but that doesn't seem right. It seems like you'd have to do a little more destroying than that for him, you know, for him to come back. It just seemed too easy.
Yeah, so I guess
so
that...
So I was like, oh, he's...
Sorry, go ahead, Gabby. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I forgot what I was saying.
Sorry. So I guess, I mean, it does speak to what Kim was saying, where it didn't end really well. I guess they ended season one in the first episode of season two, when we finally got closure, when Buffy got closure. That does make
sense. It was kind of like they didn't know how to end it. At the same time, it wasn't a good enough cliffhanger, but they wrapped it up well in this episode. Or I guess they wrapped it up as good as they could in this episode. Or as well as they could, I should say.
Kevin, were you about to throw doubt onto my idea that she got closure?
No, I was going to actually say that does lead, I think, to talking about the points of revelation a bit, that this episode and happens at it, especially in the second half, very much is, to me, showing the, if you will, the Scoobies minus Buffy. They don't really realize what she's going through, and she doesn't realize what they go through until, you know, she makes the mistake, puts them in danger. Xander stands up for Willow.
Oh boy, does he ever.
There's much more of an understanding, I think, between each side now, kind of understanding a little more, because they all saw, quote, Buffy's issues, and she also saw how she was trusting them enough, so.
Yeah.
Good setup.
I'm tired of protecting you guys while I fight. I can't do both. And my most shocking, I really was actually shocked when Xander said, if they hurt Willow, I'll kill you.
I'll kill you, yeah.
I was really thrown aback. Like, that was not something that I would have ever suspected. Like, that was way over the top, but not out of character over the top. It was just like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. But it was fitting for his character, I think. But it was just really kind of shocking. It really did throw me back. I was very surprised.
That and the other thing, too, was the little confrontation that Buffy and Angel has, where she basically draws her line in the sand and says, you know, come on and kick my ass. I mean, I'm like, ooh, this could go somewhere.
That was so
weird. Yeah, she has a lot of rage built up.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
You know, PTSD much? Like, she's so full of post-traumatic stress, you know?
Mm-hmm. I didn't like that when she said that to Angel. Yeah. It was probably the uncomfortable factor of the dance carrying over. Like, if to me she was super or like hypersexualized, and I was like, this is not a show for teens. I'm not a prude by any means, but it just felt weird because she's 17.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's going up to this 26 year old, kick my ass, I dare you. It was like, oh, weird. So I don't know.
Oh guys, she tortures that vampire with her cross.
Oh,
that was hardcore.
She reminded me of Saeed.
Did you think she was going to break someone's neck with her foot?
Where was the dishwasher?
Yes. That's why your knives should always be pointing down. Although, if you want to make your sharp knives dull, you put them in a dishwasher. You should only wash your good knives under cold water. Your household kitchen tip from Potential Cast.
Yeah. Tip of the show.
But yeah, she was totally torturing that vampire.
Again, we realize Buffy needs her Scoobies as much as she needs. They need her.
Like, I don't know, man. It's like, she was getting really hardcore, like it really was when she was bad. She was not being a good guy here. She was being a bad guy. Like,
but with,
you know,
good intentions.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, come on now. That was really awful. Like, that was not cool. I mean, I'm not Mr. I can't stand torture in movies and TV stuff, but I was really very shocked by that. You know?
Well, because Buffy was acting completely out of character, so it fit this episode.
Yeah, it totally did. It was like, wow, she really, really is really going through some issues.
Yeah. She's just totally had it. Any other points for anybody?
Was anybody else at the very, very end of the episode uncomfortable?
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard episode in general to watch. It's hard to watch Buffy act mm-hmm. this way and just to treat everybody the way she did. And yeah, watching her destroy the Master's bones, all that mm-hmm. rage, it was hard to watch.
Really, mm-hmm. I love that part.
I liked it too.
I loved it.
I must say.
Because she finally put it behind. Well, I think that she finally was like, okay, she worked her issues out, like physically.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great.
Did you mean she was uncomfortable when she was smashing the skeleton or uncomfortable when she's in the classroom walking towards...
The classroom. The classroom yeah. thing. It really bugged me. It made me feel like I was like, oh, Bones thing, great. And then they're in the room, and then there's Xander and Willow still talking and laughing, and she's mm-hmm. sitting there, and it's like, okay. I'm like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, is it they're friends again and everything's okay, or is she still an outsider looking in? Or what? I mean, it was just left...
Well, that conversation with Giles.
Yeah.
The conversation with Giles in the scene before that, she was afraid that her friends wouldn't accept her back because she felt sorry for the way she treated them, and mm-hmm. and when she walked in the classroom, they didn't hold it against her. They had saved her seat. Yeah. They were still mm-hmm. accepting of her.
Yeah, but it still seemed awkward.
Didn't Willow or Xander say something as soon as the Master was destroyed? Like, okay, it's over now. Like, things can go back to normal. Didn't they, one of those two, allude to something like that?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
they said it was something that you know, now it, as soon as she killed the last two guys, someone said, oh, you know, it's over. And then I think it was...
Oh, Xander said, no, it's not.
Who said, no, it's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah. And she smashed his bones, yeah. right? Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm thinking her smashing the bones is like, okay, now everything's reset. We're back at one. Let's go back to how things were. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. how I took it.
And
yeah, but at that point, she hadn't talked to anyone. So they, you know, she still felt that maybe they were hating on her because of all the stuff
mm-hmm.
she did. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She was just being 17.
yeah.
And apparently that means Moody. That over the summer, you have to buy lots of pairs of shoes.
Oh, we discussed that while you took your 2-minute break already.
Never mind. I will listen to it later.
Somebody may have owned something that was just like Buffy.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Hey, maybe. Are we ever going to see her chest again? Sorry, that was poorly phrased. Are we ever going to see her trunk with the false bottom again?
Oh, that chest. Okay.
I apologize.
You know what's funny? Is because Stephanie said in an earlier podcast, we have to keep an eye on Buffy's breasts. And in this episode, I was looking to see if they went from D's to V's, like she said that they did. And they didn't. And I'm wondering. No, sorry. When did Stephanie play?
Shouldn't that have been in the homework last time?
So they're not smaller this episode than they were in season one?
Really?
I think our season two of Potential Cast is going to be Bra Watch.
Well, I think I may have mentioned before that my whole theory is the decreased popularity in the Wonder Bra.
That could be.
I don't know, but she did what that dress at the Bronze was. Wasn't that a crushed velvet tank dress?
It was. It totally was.
How awesome was the rock through the window? As soon as Xander was like saying, so awesome. How do we know where they are?
Crash.
Yeah.
What about P.S.? This is a trap.
Yeah, what about the rest of the message? The part that says P.S., this is a trap. That was really good. No, I say great episode all the way through. The one thing I wrote down in my notes, and I can't remember specifically now, is I did write down the music at the end was awful.
Oh, it was. It was terrible. It did not fit.
And I don't remember what it was now, but it was just awful.
It was like music from. It was like from an after school
special. That's
exactly
it. Yeah, it was kind of like. Yeah.
And it was too long of a musical montage. It just went on forever. I'm like, oh gosh. Like, I even thought about stopping it, but I'm glad I didn't because there's a little that little tag at the end.
Oh, with the annoyed one.
Annoyed one?
Yes.
And that made the episode.
Yeah.
But it was weird. It reminded me, that musical scene actually reminded me of the pact when they were all walking in slow motion. I'm like, this is just going on way too long.
Yeah.
It just felt
weird. Definitely. No.
Yeah.
Any other points?
But I do like that. So, I do like that Cordelia was not screaming in this episode.
Very true.
Because I don't know if it was a show note that they took into consideration, but previous episodes when she was like, ah! I was just like, oh, shut up. But now.
Well, it's hard to be screaming when you're hanging upside down unconscious, right?
Or maybe that's why the vampires covered her mouth. Like, shut up, Cordelia.
They knew.
God, that's so disturbing seeing people hanging upside down.
It was. I kept watching Giles' hand because it kept scraping against the skeleton. I was like, ew.
Because, like, I was watching Firefly. Morgan and I were watching Firefly. And Mishka, he's like this, you know, really scary mobster guy. And to show how dangerous he is, he opens up a door and there's a man in there hanging upside down. And that's supposed to show us how scary a person he is. And it scares me, even though it's just hanging upside down.
It was weird. Because I forgot that when the master died, that Xander wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, they were sauntering over.
Came back.
Right?
Yeah. That's so true.
We're meandering through the parking lot.
Because when Buffy came back to the library and just Xander was there, I'm like, well, why isn't he with them? I totally forgot that he wasn't there.
Yeah.
It totally threw me for a loop for a second. But anyways, not important.
Well, yeah. Well, I had to remind myself as well that he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Because I kept thinking, I don't know if it's because I watched too much Lost, but I'm like, why was he left behind? Oh my gosh, what does this mean? Does this mean that Xander has special powers? And I'm like, oh no, he wasn't there. Any other points?
Okay, vampires are smart enough to devise this plan, this complicated plan to divide and so they can take these people, but they put torches in their lair.
Yeah. Pardon, Steph? Say that again.
They should be smart enough not to have fire in their lair.
This is true.
But they don't have electricity down there. How would they see?
It was just a warehouse, though. It's got to have electricity, no? And they're in the city. I mean, they could just steal electricity from next door. I don't know.
Well.
I'm being... Oh, yes. What was that again? Suspension of disbelief.
Hey.
Sorry. Carry on. Anything else, Steph?
Me?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that's all I've got.
You know, maybe they just like the ambiance.
Yeah, like the very first episode with a billion candles.
Well, the candles.
Underground.
Oh, yeah, and the master has candles underground. And...
Yeah.
It's
so, can I ask a question of the people who have watched the episodes?
The veterans?
This season, yes. Season 2. Because right now I have, and I'm pretty sure Lirio and Gabby would say the same thing. I have absolutely no idea what season 2 might be about because it felt like this episode was a wrap up to season 1.
Uh-huh.
What should we look forward to without getting too spoilery? And are there any episodes that are coming up that you are really looking forward to us watching this season?
OMG.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Are the eggshells comfortably around you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, remember my point last time about certain episodes turning me into a huge Buffy fan?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to experience them. I'm not going to say when or where.
Okay.
Because that would be a spoiler.
So there will be some in-season.
And you will have some introductions to some quite interesting characters this season.
Yes, I have heard that one specific character and with a one-syllable name will appear this season. that viewers
again,
of Torchwood will recognize.
I'm just saying, you don't have to go to the Lost dissection level, but you will. It will come to you naturally.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there are new characters will show up that are, you know, just fan favorites, and that will end up sticking around a lot longer than planned because they are such fan favorites.
As recurring roles or as regulars?
Recurring and eventually regulars.
Okay.
And some recurring, some just recurring. We'll still get sometimes the bad Monster of the Week episodes, but they're still fun, even though they're cheesy and just silly fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also characters will show up where you get one scene, then they get one line, and then eventually they get their own episode, you know, and eventually
you're in for a good ride, just enjoy it.
Yeah, I would say season 2 is a lot of people's favorite season.
Okay.
And there will be lots of tears shed in season 2. Yeah, this is where the show finally, Kevin and I were talking today on Twitter. I watch television. I want to be moved emotionally, and I want to be thrilled. And in season 2, and the show hasn't really thrilled me yet, but in season 2, there is some just really exciting things that happen. And just very emotional things and very exciting things.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
I think
and don't think
say
that the characters
spoiler.
That you've seen will stay this way. That's a great thing about a Josh show is growth of characters and relationships.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yes. Very drastic changes in characters.
Do we
all right,
get
that's
another?
Enough. No, go ahead.
Do we get another? Okay. Do we get another principal?
What did you say, Steph?
Because I don't like Principal Snyder.
What did you say, Steph? Yes or no?
You don't.
You don't? All right.
No, Principal Snyder sticks around for a while.
Yeah.
I like Principal Flutie better.
Oh, Principal Bob.
Oh, a moment of silence for Principal.
Let's pour a little out.
And the pig.
Where we're going in season 2, the principal is, he's going to be the least of your worries.
Oh.
You're not going to even care about him.
Here's a question for Gabby's sake. Will the bronze be as featured in season 2 as it was in season 1?
Yes, or will there be another landmark in town that I might just gravitate towards?
The bronze is back, and there are, you know, lots of warehouses and such.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens. If my rating system ends up changing.
Speaking of rating system, I think it's time to rate the show.
Well, I can say it's definitely my favorite episode of season 2.
So far.
So far. No, out of 10, I'd probably say it's a solid 8, maybe 8.5. I really enjoyed it. But I know that there's more.
I'd say that cheesy after-school special music at the end rubbed me the wrong way, but Alison Krauss in Union Station, I mean, come on. It was awesome. So yeah. I think I'll give it...
Cancel each other out.
I think I'll give it... it was good. I think I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
I'm just keeping it real for a while. I'm keeping it real.
Wow.
I'm doing up to 10. I've graduated to 10. Okay. Mostly because I think decimals were starting to annoy me. But definitely 8 out of 10.
We had sexy dancing at the Bronze.
I like.
We did a sexy dancing at the Bronze, but I don't know. I think I liked this episode as much as the season one finale, because it you know, like it's been mentioned before, it just seemed like it finished up the finale. Mm-hmm. And then there was also lots of nice hair in this one, so I'm gonna give this one. I'm giving it a 9, a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, I would give it a 9 or 9.5. The only thing, the music was really great. Alison Krauss and Chubo Motto.
Yeah.
Google that video. That is a great video.
Isn't that like John Lennon's son?
Yeah, Sean Lennon.
Yeah, Sean O'Lennon.
Every time I watch this episode, I would think, God, that looks like Sean Lennon. And finally, this time, I Googled him to see, and yeah, he was in Chubo Motto. Mm-hmm. That was him.
Were they really popular back then? I'd never heard of them. Or is it one of the cases where the network is like working with a music record label to push artists? Because I'd never heard of them. I didn't know that they were popular or anything.
I'd never heard of them, but maybe they were like a one-hit wonder or something.
Maybe. Because I know the WB was really big on that, promoting music with the TV shows that were on.
I don't
want to
wait for our lives to be over.
Yeah, because even in the commercial breaks, they would like
promote their CDs.
The artist that was featured in the episode. Yeah. Well,
thanks for watching Buffy. You can buy our CDs in the back. Oh. Carrying boxes of CDs to your own show.
The memory.
I don't miss that.
Kevin, you didn't do your rating.
I think I would give it an 8 slinky little black dresses.
Very nice. Yeah. Slinky indeed. That was kind of like, what's she doing out there?
Yeah, it was very weird.
I mean, when Cordelia's trying to tell you that you're acting out.
You know something's wrong when.
Something's wrong with this picture, yes.
That's the wake-up call of all wake-up calls.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, Stephanie, what should we watch next week?
Next week is Some Assembly Required. And I think Kimberly and Gabby will really enjoy this episode.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Wait a second. I think I remember this from my brief flirtation with season 2 over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Does it rhyme with Frankenstein?
Yes, but it's a very Cordelia heavy episode.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful.
Awesome. I can't wait.
I know I can't.
Who knows? It may be my favorite episode of the entire series.
So far.
So far, yeah.
I think it's time for some quotes. Kevin, you're our esteemed guest. I think you should go again first.
Oh, okay. Well, I think this episode has two that might be among the top 10 in the whole series, so I'll only steal one.
Mm-hmm.
See if someone else grabs the other. One of my favorites, too, was... Cordelia, your mouth is open. Sound is coming from it. This is never good.
No. Nope, not I.
Gabby?
Oh. Trout? Yes, it's a fish.
This is huge in the Buffy community. You're a vampire. I'm sorry. Is that an offensive term? Should I have said undead American?
Go, Kim, go.
Okay. I have two. I don't know which one I want to do.
I'll say one, and then I'll say my first, because I also have two.
Okay. They're going to cook her dinner? Pretend I didn't say that.
That was good. Nice to see you, and don't ever call me that. when Xander calls Giles G-Man, I think.
G-Man.
Nice to see you, and don't ever call me that. Kim, what's your second one?
My second one is from my favorite Cordelia. Is it possible to have too much character?
That one's on my list too, but my favorite was from Buffy. We killed each other. It really promotes togetherness.
Love it. I've got, you know, being stalked isn't really a big turn on for girls.
That was very good.
Oh, the one-liners.
Any other honorable mention?
And we can't forget Cordy's wonderful.
Go ahead, Kev. Kevin?
What was that?
What? I said the other one that you hear a lot of mentions in the community was Cordelia's to Buffy. Embrace the pain. Spank your inner Moppet.
What was that?
Yeah.
What I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. What's that a reference to?
I do not know. I just know it sounded very cool.
Right. I think I googled it and Buck. it just means get over it.
Okay.
Get over yourself.
Is that more of that California talk?
Yeah, wow. I think so.
It really is some.
They see that when they're standing on line to each other.
Oh, yes. well put, Kimberly. If you have an opinion on line in line and... Well, don't bother calling us, because I think we've exhausted that part of the conversation. But if you'd like to call us, you want to talk to us about an episode that's coming up, like the one we have coming up next week, or you want to let us know how you think that we're doing, you can give us a call at 270-40-BUFFY. You can also send us an e-letter to...
Send us an e-letter to 1997.
What's our CompuServe address?
Our global blast.
Send us an e-letter global blast to potentialcast@gmail.com. Follow Potential Tax. You can follow Potential Cast on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. There you'll get, you know, announcements of when the latest episodes are released and a whole bunch of other stuff, too. I know Steph and I post a little bit on that account. Steph, I think you're a little bit more active
I post videos. You post
videos and things.
Yeah, I post interesting videos
that I don't like to click on. Exactly. I follow potential guests, but I don't click on any of the links because I don't want to be spoiled. it's really turned into a la 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 existence for anything Buffy. It's really quite amazing. We want to hear what you have to tell us, so go ahead and feel free to tell us what you want us to hear. Thank you once again for being with us, Kevin. We really appreciate you taking the time out to join us and talk to us.
Kevin.
And, you know,
thanks, Kevin.
Be part of our introduction to bigger and better Buffy.
Yeah, and just, you know, on behalf of all the longtime Buffy fans, thank you to you folks for, you know, letting us listen in on your journey. This is a lot of fun for the regular fans. So this, you guys are really onto something special here.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. I think I'm very lucky to be part of this.
Thank you.
I'm glad Steph let me in. It took a lot of bribery, but she finally acquiesced. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, gang.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Grr-arg.
The grr-arg.
Fall in on this face you love.
Buffy returns from summer vacation with a major attitude and recurring nightmares involving the Master, even as the Anointed One and his followers plot their revenge.
The Anointed One?
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay, let me start.
I think at the end, that's again. Exactly what he is.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Steph, go ahead and say it again if you'd like.
Maybe it was just my slack jaw. Okay.
I think we should leave it.
Okay, we're good to go.
No,
we're good to go. We're good.
You will get emails.